This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Did the FBI spy on the Trump campaign? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Monday, May 21st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is demanding that the Justice Department examine whether the FBI infiltrated his 2016 campaign for political purposes.
A church service in Santa Fe, Texas, offers words of comfort in the wake of another deadly school shooting.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the U.S. won't assess tariffs on China while Washington and Beijing continue to negotiate.
And as the U.S. continues battlefield victories against ISIS, the terror group has seen its recruits fall off in the U.S.
There has not been a single ISIS case prosecuted by the Department of Justice this year at all. The last time the Department of Justice filed a charge against somebody for either wanting to go and fight on behalf of ISIS or pledging guns or financial support to ISIS was December of 2017.
Jeff Mordock at the Washington Times on ISIS recruits drying up. He's here in about 10 minutes. President Trump is demanding that Justice Department look into whether the FBI infiltrated or surveilled his 2016 presidential campaign for political purposes. He made a series of tweets yesterday indicating that he would call for the action today. As part of that, the Justice Department asked its internal watchdog to examine if there was any impropriety in the counterintelligence investigation of the campaign. California Congressman Devin Nunes was on Fox News.
We don't have any documents. We can't confirm whether there's an informant or not an informant because we've never been told nor given documents. And in fact, we've never even asked for the name of any informants or any sources whatsoever.
Hear how Democrats are responding in the next hour. In his social media posts, Mr. Trump wanted to know if there was involvement by people within the Obama administration. Meanwhile, the New York Times quotes Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani as saying special counsel Robert Mueller plans to wrap up its probe of alleged obstruction of the Russia inquiry by September 1st. That's a piece of the larger probe. Words of comfort for members of Arcadia First Baptist Church in Santa Fe, Texas. Before services yesterday near the site of Friday's deadly high school shooting, churchgoers also heard from Governor Greg Abbott. The service focused on healing from the shooting that killed 10 and injured 13 more at Santa Fe High School.
People who support gun rights and people who are advocating for gun control, we want input from a lot of different people from across the state of Texas who will offer ideas.
Governor Abbott says he's interested in speeding background checks, examining how to keep guns away from people who pose a danger, better securing schools, and addressing mental health issues. Demetrius Pogortsis, the 17-year-old accused gunman, had no criminal record and had not previously displayed signs of instability. Authorities, however, said they found journals on his computer and cell phone saying he wanted to carry out the shooting and commit suicide afterward. At least for now, it seems the U.S. has hit the pause button when it comes to tariffs on Chinese imports. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told Fox News yesterday that the U.S. was putting the trade war on hold and would not assess tariffs on Beijing while the two sides talked.
I'm pleased to report that we've made very meaningful progress and we agreed on a framework, which is important to understand. And the framework includes their agreement to substantially reduce the trade deficit by increasing their purchases of goods.
However, hours later, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer put out a statement saying that tariffs remained an important tool to protect our technology. Several days of negotiations between the world's two biggest economies seem to have concluded with no firm resolution. The U.S. has threatened to levy tariffs on as much as $150 billion in Chinese imports over Beijing's alleged pressure on U.S. companies to transfer technology to Chinese partners. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @ Gordon Deal. The Justice Department has not publicly lodged charges against anyone associated with the Islamic State since February, in what analysts said suggests the terrorist organization's reach is waning in the U.S. Investigative government reporter Jeff Mordock at the Washington Times has been researching this. Jeff, what have you found?
There has not been a single ISIS case prosecuted by the Department of Justice this year at all. The last time you go, and by prosecuted, I mean actually filed charges against somebody. I should be clear about that. The last time the Department of Justice filed a charge against somebody for either wanting to go and fight on behalf of ISIS or pledging guns or financial support to ISIS was December of 2017.
So the reasons for this are what? I know there was an effort, right, to battle online propaganda and push back there. The battlefield probably has a lot to do with it. I don't know. How do you assign percentages?
I think the battlefield is the key. Yeah. Because when they took out, when Iraqi and U.S. forces took out the caliphate in Syria and Iraq that ISIS had established, all of a sudden there was no place for all these ISIS wannabes who are getting arrested at the airport to hop on planes and go fight for ISIS. All of a sudden these people have nowhere to go. So, and they actually accounted for, I would say, about half of the ISIS cases that the Department of Justice has prosecuted in the last 4 years. So you take those cases out, you've now wiped out half the cases the Department of Justice was prosecuting, so the numbers go way down. And I found actually something really interesting. When you take out those cases, the average age of an ISIS defendant goes up pretty substantially.
Really? Explain that.
What we found is in 2014, when they started prosecuting ISIS cases, the average age of an ISIS defendant was 24 years old. In 2016, 2017, it was roughly 29 years old, including some people in their 50s, which is surprising. Hmm. And the reason for that is, again, when you take out the people who want to go to ISIS and fight, people who want to go to Syria and Iraq and fight on behalf of ISIS are younger people who kind of, as you said, fell into the allure of social media, fell into sort of online recruitment, and they fell for this romantic notion of what ISIS is doing in Iraq and Syria. When you take them out, then it leaves the cases of people who didn't want to go fight for ISIS but wanted to support ISIS with money or guns or infrared goggles or some other equipment. Mm-hmm. And we find that those people tend to be older because it makes sense when you think about it. They have more money, sure. They have more stability, they have more resources to provide that kind of equipment or financial support.
Wow. We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, investigative government reporter at the Washington Times. He's written a piece entitled Terror Recruits in U.S. Dry Up. So these folks then that seemingly have nowhere to go if they're trying to join ISIS, do they become lone wolves?
Well, and that's the thing. That's something that we've got to pay attention to, because where are they going to go? And that, I think, is a very, very strong concern, because they're not going to Syria, but they've still got this desire to support ISIS. And we're going to start seeing, I think, people turn to attacks. As a matter of fact, the last four charges were against people who did plan events in the U.S. The last known ISIS defendant was arrested 3 days before Christmas when he was plotting a terror attack on a San Francisco tourist attraction.
You said, too, though, you quoted an observer or expert or analyst or something toward the tail end of your story who said Islamic State views these battlefield defeats as really like just a temporary setback. They'll reinvent somehow, somewhere.
That's correct. I mean, they're in this for the long... ISIS is in this for the long term. If they've got a couple of defeats, they're going to go underground, they're going to look for an opportunity to reinvent itself and try to mount another effort. And it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, I also have another expert on terrorism who was talking about how it's going to take... The view of ISIS, even among Muslims in Muslim countries, is declining dramatically. He thinks it's going to take something dramatic to start increasing support for ISIS again.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, investigative government reporter at the Washington Times. This portion of the program is brought to you by LifeLock. It's a fact. Our devices are vulnerable to cyber criminals. If you're concerned your devices have been hacked, look for signs like this. Does your device restart on its own? Is it running slower than normal? Are any programs running that you don't recognize? And are there posts on your social media that you did not create? Hackers are sneaky, so stay vigilant. There are so many threats in today's connected world, and it takes just one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. If you have a problem, LifeLock has agents who will work to fix it. Help yourself sleep better at night, not worrying about this stuff. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code Gordon for an additional 10% off your first year. Again, 10% off at LifeLock.com with the promo code Gordon. LifeLock.com and promo code Gordon. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Justice Department will investigate whether FBI agents spied on President Trump's 2016 election campaign for inappropriate purposes. In a tweet, Trump said he wanted to know whether his predecessor's administration ordered such a move. U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein says action would be taken if any infiltration is found. California Congressman Adam Schiff told NBC there's no need for all this.
You hear it in the same terms that Trump often speaks, which is people are saying, or I'm hearing, or we're being told. That's another way of saying this is patently untrue, but we would like to spread it anyway.
Trump posted 8 tweets yesterday about special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe, calling it the world's most expensive witch hunt, denying collusion, and calling for Hillary Clinton's campaign to be investigated for her use of a private email server when she was Secretary of State. The U.S. and China are pulling back from the brink of a trade war after the world's two biggest economies reported progress in talks aimed at bringing down the U.S.'s massive trade deficit with Beijing. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was interviewed yesterday on Fox.
We're putting the trade war on hold. So right now we have agreed to put the tariffs on hold while we try to execute the framework.
After talks in Washington last week, Beijing agreed to substantially reduce the U.S.'s trade deficit with China, but did not commit to cut the gap by any specific amount. Authorities in Hawaii are warning of dangerous Lays fumes as molten lava from the erupting Kilauea volcano reaches the Pacific Ocean. Two lava flows reach the ocean along the southeast Puna coast, which produces acid fumes known as Lays. The USGS also warned that volcanic gas emissions have tripled as a result of the voluminous eruptions. It's a sports story for the ages as the first year of Vegas Golden Knights have advanced to the Stanley Cup Final with a 2-1 win at Winnipeg. Vegas coach Gerard Gallant says his team isn't done.
It's been an awesome ride so far. I mean, we've won 3 series. We're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. But again, this isn't what we want. We want to win, you know. I mean, every team's got a chance to win now in the NHL. The teams are so close. So, you know, we're far from satisfied.
The Golden Knights become the first team in NHL history to win 3 playoff series in their inaugural season.
It's impressive. Mm-hmm. And they touched the Western Conference trophy, though. Not supposed to do that in hockey.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like a tradition. You don't touch it, the conference trophy, because you want Lord Stanley's cup.
Well, they already
but,
had a
as
great
they
season.
Say, they haven't been superstitious all year, so yeah. They're not going to start that stuff now. Right. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A few of the biggest airlines are making big changes to their frequent flyer programs, actually opening up availability and cutting the number of miles needed for tickets to places people really want to go. A look at some new findings from Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney. Scott, what should we know?
This is a survey that looks the same way travelers do. It looks for 2 seats at the saver level on 25 different airlines, 14 different travel dates, and each airline's busiest long-haul routes and busiest medium-haul routes. So it's very much geared towards exactly how people want to shop and how they want to use their frequent flyer miles. And it's really the only good measure of airline availability that you can find out there. So I think it's really valuable. It had impact in the industry where airlines have sort of been shamed, if you will, into increasing their availability.
Yeah.
And in general, it's a real good tool for the traveler.
All right. So what have you found here? Who's best? Who's generous?
What really changed this year was American. They took a specific step to increase their availability, to places that people really wanted to go, like Hawaii and Europe. And so they went from about 50% success rate in the survey to close to 80%. It was a huge jump and very impactful, I think, for their customers. United was also up. United says, and this is exactly what showed up in the survey, that they took a step to increase availability for U.S. flights and flights to Canada. So the shorter haul, the domestic flights, not their trips to Europe or Asia. But still, they had a 10-point jump in availability. And both of them, and these are the two of the biggest airlines in the world, and they really upped their game.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. He's ranked the top frequent flyer programs for 2018. All right, so you mentioned American and that sharp jump from 50 to 80% availability. Does that speak to the competitive landscape when it comes to frequent flyer programs?
Yeah, it really does. American said they knew they had to be competitive with Delta in particular, which was way ahead of them last year, and with United. United upped its game as well. But American, such a big jump, actually had greater availability than either of those two. This was something they actually promised. When we did the survey last year, they had very, very poor showing. And they said, you know, they recognized that they were behind others and needed to up their game.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, May 21st. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump wants the Justice Department to look at the FBI probe of his campaign. Trade war between the U.S. and China is apparently on hold. The best place for college grads to launch their careers. Hint, not New York or L.A. A cougar attacked two mountain bikers outside Seattle. One of them was killed. First fatal encounter in nearly a century. And Cardinals rookie pitcher Jordan Hicks threw two pitches at 105 miles an hour yesterday, meaning pretty much you have to start your swing the night before to make contact. If Seattle's bitter public fight with Amazon over a new tax on employees is a sign of the future for cities vying to become the company's next headquarters, there is a take-home message here. You can push Amazon, but you have to be prepared for Amazon to push back hard. More from Elizabeth Weiss, tech reporter at USA Today. She's based in San Francisco. Elizabeth, set this up.
There was a lot of anger and frustration in Seattle. So Seattle has a pretty significant homeless problem, a significant homeless population. Housing is getting more expensive. Rents are going up. A lot of people are blaming Amazon because they're saying that all these Amazon employees are coming in with high wages and they're paying a lot for apartments, pushing everybody else out. And what the Seattle City Council decided to do was put a corporate head tax on corporations that had very high revenues. So it's not actually that many corporations in Seattle. So really it's Amazon, Starbucks, a couple of others. And each year they will pay $275 per employee to the city of Seattle, and the city will spend that money about 75% on housing, 25% on homeless services.
And that, boy, the proposal was $500 per employee, right?
Right. That's where they started. And so this is kind of an interesting, I think the take-home message for any of the 20 cities that are considering having Amazon bring its second headquarters to them is that Amazon plays hard. And in this instance, people who, you know, I grew up in Seattle. It's a very nice town. And people said this is the day that Seattle nice stopped because the Seattle City Council pushed back hard. Amazon pushed back hard. They ended up getting half the tax that was originally proposed. They still had a tax, and they hadn't wanted a tax. And Amazon actually said when the tax was first proposed, okay, that's it. We're going to stop building this 17-story office tower that we were going to build that was going to house another 6,000 employees. We're not going to lease what will become the second largest skyscraper in the Northwest, which is slated to be done in 2020. So they really said, okay, maybe Seattle isn't the place that we should be putting our new employees.
Yeah.
They have now backed off from that.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Weiss, technology reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called Amazon's Fight with Seattle Over Head Tax Foreshadows Battles to Come in Other Cities. All right, so you referenced it here. Obviously, there's still this proposal out there for Amazon to build a second headquarters somewhere in this country. What are other cities taking away from the head tax battle?
Well, so and you do have to realize that Seattle and Washington State are different than most states in that they don't, legally, they cannot have a state income tax on individuals or on corporations. So their taxation is very limited, and most states are going to have a corporate income tax that kind of doesn't, it won't be as big a deal for them. But I think this has made, especially the front runners, Boston, D.C., New York City, Austin, Houston, they're, I'm sure, all thinking, okay, we now need to be aware that Amazon is going to push us, and everybody knows Amazon's going to push hard to get the best deal it can. When I talk to some people who specialize in corporate sites, how to choose where your corporation is going to go, they all said, you know, if I were one of those cities, the first call I would make would be to Amazon to say, we've never done this before. We're never going to do this. This is not how we do business. Mm. To basically put themselves forward as the anti-Seattle, we're never going to hate you. You're not going to have protesters out in front of your offices saying Seattle should pay or Amazon should pay its fair share. You know, Amazon's a blight on Seattle, which is what some of the people in Seattle have been saying.
Is that right? Wow, it's odd, right? I mean, you create a company, you create tens of thousands of jobs, and then some folks aren't happy about it. It almost makes it seem like some folks want to argue, well, it's great that you have jobs. Please don't pay people so much.
Well, it is. It's an interesting conundrum. I mean, you never see this when a company comes in that has a lot of blue collar and jobs. This seems to be a highly paid white collar issue. We see it in Silicon Valley as well. You know, it is true. You get a huge influx of very highly paid people who can basically throw money at things that other folks can't, and then you get concerns. You know, in Seattle, though, it's interesting. There was pushback from the building trades. I mean, there were a lot of construction workers who were out in counter-protests saying, hey, back off. Amazon is employing hundreds of construction workers in well-paid union jobs.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Weiss, tech reporter at USA Today. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you can understand why police officers in Ohio were convinced a man who called 911 about a pig following him was drunk and hallucinating, but as it turns out, the caller was telling the truth and reportedly very sober. According to Fox News, North Ridgeville police received a call just before 5:30 a.m. Saturday morning from a man who said a pig was following him while he was walking home from the Amtrak station in Elyria, located about 30 miles west of Cleveland. The caller added that he, quote, didn't know what to do. The bizarre call was shared on the department's Facebook page. At first, officers were skeptical to believe the man and thought he was intoxicated and walking home from the bar. But the officer's theory was actually wrong. Not only was the man very sober and walking home from the train station, like he said, a pig was actually following him. After responding, one of the officers managed to get the pig into the police cruiser and take it to the city's dog kennel that doubled as a pig pen for a few hours before the pig's owner came to claim it. The bizarre story traveled quickly around the internet this weekend, with the Facebook post having been liked, shared, and commented nearly 45,000 times. People like the story about the pig. I saw the picture. This was no small, little baby pig.
Oh, I'm sure that's why he called.
It wasn't a wild boar or anything, but it was a decent-sized pig that, if it's following you around for a little while, might maybe start to alarm you a little bit. You hear things about what pigs do when they get desperate for food, so you never know what could happen.
I think really what's lost in the story here is that the police did not suspect the pig, in fact, was coming home from a bar at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
Following some stranger.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
The issue here.
Exactly. That pig probably should have been tested on the spot.
Let's bring the pig in for some questioning.
And speaking, Gordon, of animals on the loose, South Carolina's most talented escape artist may be a kangaroo. This after a kangaroo was caught on video hopping around a South Carolina highway 2 days after a photo from its previous escape went viral. A driver on Highway 28 in McCormick County captured video last week of the Australian animal bouncing around to the surprise of witnesses. The county sheriff's office said deputies responded to a call about the marsupial and the kangaroo was safely returned to its owner's farm. And this was all on the heels of another incident posted on social media 2 days earlier, showing the kangaroo in the road in front of a deputy's car, in which the animal's owner was identified and reunited with his pet.
Mm.
So how many times is this going to go on?
Yeah.
We'll add the pig into this as well. The pig, the kangaroo, people are having trouble keeping their animals under wraps. And I guess apparently it's legal to have a kangaroo, at your house
apparently.
In South Carolina. In New Jersey, I can assure you that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
But in South Carolina, I guess pretty much anything goes.
South Carolina, they ever hear something like the invisible fence?
Yeah.
A little collar on the kangaroo's neck and
right.
Maybe he, wouldn't get loose like that.
And how many times, again, are we allowed to sort of have this happen before perhaps we question the owner about what we're going to do about not letting this happen again?
You need a tighter leash.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a reflection of your company and designed to impress clients for less. Custom printing at Staples. Standout materials equals outstanding results. Staples, it's pro time. New survey from WalletHub.com finds that Salt Lake City is the best spot for recent college grads to start a career when it comes to professional opportunity and quality of life. The survey measured things like the number of entry-level opportunities, monthly average starting salary, unemployment rate, annual job growth rate, workforce diversity, job security, and job satisfaction. After Salt Lake City came Orlando, Atlanta, Charleston, South Carolina, and Tempe, Arizona. Rounding out the top 10, Austin, Texas came in sixth, then Columbia, South Carolina, Denver, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. The nation's largest and most populated city struggled in this survey. New York City was ranked 165, LA 132, Chicago ranked 112. Quality of life, by the way, was measured by factors including median annual income, average commute time, average work week, strength of social ties with friends and family, cost of housing, share of young adults, and fun family and singles friendliness. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump says he will demand that the Justice Department open an investigation into whether the FBI infiltrated his presidential campaign. An extraordinary order that came hours before his legal team said the special counsel indicated the investigation into the president could be concluded by September. Trump's demand puts further pressure on the Justice Department, which later Sunday asked its watchdog to expand an existing probe of FBI actions. Republican Congressman Devin Nunes appeared on Fox yesterday.
If they ran a spy ring or an informant ring and they were paying people within the Trump campaign, if any of that is true, That is an absolute red line.
The White House is already combating the threat posed by Special Counsel Robert Mueller's ongoing investigation into potential ties between Russia and the Trump campaign. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says school shootings aren't happening because of an issue with guns, but with abortion and broken families, violent video games, removing religion from school, and too many entrances in schools. Meanwhile, Governor Greg Abbott plans a roundtable discussion on how to protect students from gun violence.
People who support gun rights and people who are advocating for gun control, we want input from a lot of different people from across the state of Texas who will offer ideas.
A Methodist memorial service and Islamic funeral prayers were held in two Houston suburbs yesterday for the victims of Friday's massacre at Santa Fe High School. The services unfolded a day after authorities officially released the names of the 8 students and 2 teachers slain, marking the 4th deadliest shooting at a public school. Celebrity chef Mario Batali, who already faces sexual harassment accusations from 4 women, is under criminal investigation by the New York Police Department for sexual misconduct. Batali vehemently denied the new allegations outlined on CBS's 60 Minutes. The chef is accused of drugging and sexually assaulting an employee at one of his restaurants in 2005 in the new criminal probe. Are you ready for the latest mashup in the food aisle? It's called Mayochup, a combination of mayonnaise and ketchup that's being developed by Kraft Heinz. The move comes as Kraft Heinz and Miracle Whip maker Hellman's battle it out on the condiment shelf as mayonnaise sales drop.
What would you use for that? Or what would you put that on? Nothing?
Absolutely,
nothing.
Absolutely
in your book. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. So Hasbro has trademarked the scent of Play-Doh. The toy company announced that the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has recognized Play-Doh's distinctive smell with a registered trademark, something rarely issued for a scent. The Play-Doh brand has been around since 1956. Hasbro, though, just applied for the scent trademark last year. The company says in a press release that the smell, quote, has always been synonymous with childhood and fun, and explains that the trademark allows it to protect, quote, an invaluable point of connection between the brand and fans for years to come. The company, based in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, describes the Play-Doh scent as a sweet, slightly musky vanilla fragrance with slight overtones of cherry combined with the smell of a salted, wheat-based dough. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.